Thank you, Dan. All right. I'm going to come down here because we're going to be... Have a seat. We'll be a bit more cozy tonight, seeing there's not a heap of us. So, it's obviously God's got something he wants to do among us, so let's see what he does. Let's get ready for God to do something among us tonight. And this morning, the title of our message was The Hand of Breakthrough. We've been talking about breakthrough at the moment. Basically, we looked at the fact that, you know, if we want breakthrough in our lives, if we want God to break through in our lives, it doesn't matter how much effort we put in, how talented we are, how hard we try, there is only so much that we can do as people, isn't there? There is only so much that we can do. And you can actually feel quite frustrated sometimes because you're wanting to see God move, or you're wanting to move past an area, or there's been something in your life that's been sort of this, sometimes it can just loom so large in your life, and you just feel like you can't break through. And we've been, one of our key verses has been Isaiah 43, verse 19, and it says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it?" And then it goes on and it says, "I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland." And part of breakthrough, and I believe I'm talking to people here at the moment where, you know, you can feel like you're perhaps in a wilderness in some area of your life. It might be the whole lot of your life, but it could be a particular area where it just feels like it's a wilderness. Maybe it's relational, maybe it's financial, maybe it's something else. But you can just feel like you're in a wilderness. You know what? Well, God is actually saying, and he was saying back there in Isaiah, and he's saying the same thing here tonight, that I will make a pathway through the wilderness. And I believe that there are people here tonight, we need to grab hold of the fact that wherever we are, that there is a pathway through whatever situation you're in. There is a pathway through whatever season you're in. There is also rivers that come in to those wastelands. There are rivers that actually come and bring refreshing. So whatever situation you are in, there is a refreshing of the Holy Spirit that can come into your situation. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, this afternoon, tonight, whatever, try it all. But, you know, we do so need the hand of God on our efforts. And this morning we looked at some verses out of 2 Kings, and we looked at the prophet Elisha when he actually came and encouraged King Joash to actually step out of where he was and take on the Syrians. And there was some things that we looked at in that, and they were quite practical. But tonight I really want to look at the spiritual component of breakthrough. I want to look at what it takes for us to carry something inside us that means that we step into breakthrough. I mean, I can give you a whole lot of practical things, and we looked at some of those this morning, and they are necessary. But what do we need to carry in our spirit to actually walk into breakthrough? What do we need to carry in our spirit as a church so that we walk, you know, beyond the walls of a church and actually into breakthrough? What do we need to carry in our spirit as individuals to actually walk into breakthrough? And I want to look at that here tonight. And a couple of weeks ago, Dan spoke out of Ezekiel, and he talked about the river that flowed out of the temple. And it's one of my favorite verses to preach on. But three chapters before that, we read these interesting things here. And it says this in Ezekiel 43, verse 13. It says, "These are the measurements of the altar in cubits." Does anybody measure stuff in cubits? Anyone got a tape measure that's got cubits on it? You know, my father-in-law, he's in his 80s, and he really has trouble transitioning from feet to meters and inches to millimeters and so forth like that. But I haven't met anybody that actually still measures in cubits. Can anyone actually tell me what a cubit is? Yeah. It's something like that. It is. And I'll explain that. But it basically says the cubit is one cubit. And this is how when this prophetic word was being put over the new temple in Jerusalem, did you know they actually gave them a new way to measure? It was like God came in and said, I want you to throw away your old tape measures and I want you to use a new tape measure. And he says this, he says, these are the measurements of the older in cubits. The cubit is one cubit and one hand breadth. And then it says, with the base of one cubit high and one cubit wide, with the rim all around the edge of one span, this is the height of the altar. So basically what it was saying was, I don't want you to measure the altar in old cubits, I want you to measure it in new cubits. In other words, I want you to throw away your measure and I want you to measure in new cubits. And Simon was onto it, but basically a cubit is probably the length from your middle finger to the inside of your forearm on your elbow there. And there's an interesting thing there. If a hand breadth is the width across your hand, basically with your thumb tucked in, so it doesn't include the width of your thumb. But if you were to measure, I should have used the headset mic, shouldn't I? But if you were to measure like this and do that, so you're not measuring the thumb as well, and keep doing it, you will find that nearly everybody measures from the tip of their middle finger to the inside of their elbow there. You will measure 6 hand breadths. So it doesn't matter whether you're a person like Simon, who's perhaps got a pretty good cubit up there, or whether you're somebody that's a little bit shorter, most of us will measure about 6 hand breadths, and that's 1 cubit. And that's before they had tape measures back in ancient times. That's one of the ways that they would measure. I don't know how they standardized it when everybody was different sizes, but anyway, they made it work one way or the other. But basically what God was saying is when you go about measuring this temple, I don't want you to do it the way you've been doing it. I want you to measure 6 plus 1. In other words, the new cubit, instead of being 6 hand breadths, is going to be 7 hand breadths. Now, why would God do that? Why would he say that? Why would he bring confusion into something that was already working? Well, let's go back a little bit. Who loves numbers? Who's heard about, 666 and all those sort of scary things? Well, basically in the Bible, when you look at a lot of things actually flow out in numbers, but in the Bible, 6 is the number of man. And it doesn't mean it's like spooky or anything. It's just that 6 represents the number of man. And then a lot of you would have heard that 7 is the number of God. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God was saying, I actually, instead of you measuring by man's efforts, by 6 hand breadths, which would be 1 cubit, I want you to use man's efforts plus 1, which brings God into it. So man plus God. So when you think about that measure, if you like, of a cubit of your forearm, that represents our talent, that represents our abilities, that represents the giftings that God has given us, that represents all that we carry, that represents who we are as humanity. And God, we're actually created in the image of God. And we can do all sorts of incredible things, can't we? Like God put his DNA in us, which has enabled us to put a man on the moon. God put his DNA in us, which has enabled us to have, a technological breakthrough. That means, did you know that now, that the sum total of human knowledge, they reckon, actually doubles every 3 months? Like we've actually just reached this stage because of technology and so forth, and the sum total of what's going on, that everything that man knows actually doubles every 3 months. And apparently, it actually took thousands of years to actually double the first time. Like man's knowledge just little bit by little bit, and it didn't double. And I think it doubled, sometime in a last century or something like that. And then all of a sudden we got to this breakthrough where it just keeps doubling all the time. And did you know that's just because God has put his DNA in us as humans and has given us an incredible ability. But in all that, we've got some problems, haven't we? In all that, we know more than ever we knew, but we seem to be have more problems than ever we've had. Like, we know more about stuff, we know more about the environment, but we have more problems with it. We know more about political, you know, systems and structures, but we can't deal with terrorism and all the things that are going on at the moment. We can't deal with what's happening in the Middle East. We can't deal with our economic problems. We can't deal with our social problems. We can't deal with families that keep breaking down. We can't deal with all these things, even though we've got this incredible amount of knowledge which enables us to do that. You see, God was showing them that the temple needed to be built to a new measure. In other words, man's efforts plus the Spirit of God. In other words, our work, our incredible creativity, our incredible giftedness, because we're made in the image of God, but we also need His hand on it. Sometimes it's actually the giftedness that we have that robs us of our need for God. You see, He was showing them that He actually wanted to add His hand, if you like, that seventh hand, He wanted to add His hand to their efforts. So He said, hey, that temple's not going to happen by itself. I'm not just actually going to come along and zap it into place. You're going to have to build the thing. You're going to have to bring your skills, your talents, and everything you've got, and you're going to have to build that temple. And you're going to have to measure it out in cubits. But I don't want you to build it to the pattern of man. I want you to build it to the pattern of God. And the pattern that God wants to work through is human effort plus His Spirit. Human effort plus His Spirit. In other words, the six, what we can do, what we've got, what He's gifted us with, plus He actually wants to place His hand on our efforts. You see, breakthrough is simply not about working harder or about, it's not about doing more. It's actually about doing all we can and being faithful with our part. That's the sixth, if you like. And then allowing God to do what we can't, which is the seventh hand on our efforts. And the problem is often we get stuck in our efforts and we don't find the seventh hand, if you like. And I'm using figurative language, which is basically the Spirit of God actually coming on to the efforts that we already have. You see, breakthrough happens when God places His hand on our work and our faithfulness. So to experience the seventh hand in our life, before we finish tonight, I've just got a number of points here, and then I want to pray into some of this stuff. But to experience the hand of breakthrough, number one, if you're taking notes, we've got to use His measure, not your measure. Use His measure, not your measure. And sometimes, if you've been a carpenter for a long time, you can actually get yourself into trouble because your tape measure eventually wears out. You've used it so many times that the end of it's worn down, and you'll find yourself actually measuring things wrongly because the tape's actually worn down. Are we using a measure which isn't accurate? Are we using a measure that's actually going to lead us astray? Are we using a measure that's actually not going to tell us the truth? And I think it's really important that we understand that man's measure is the measure of comparison. When we start to measure ourselves, we normally compare ourselves with other people. We normally compare ourselves with the people around us. We need to compare ourselves with people in our family. We compare ourselves with somebody on Instagram or somebody on Facebook. Or, if we're a mum, we compare ourselves with that amazing shot of all these wonderful kids where they were good for 2 seconds and she just snapped their picture and put them up there. We compare our life with somebody else. But you see, God doesn't want us to go that way. You see, man's measure is about comparison. God's measure is about completion. Man's measure is about comparison. God's measure is about completion. Because see, when you give your heart and your life to Jesus, you're actually engaging in a work that is already complete. There's nothing that you've got to do to strain or strive to experience that, because the work was already done. But if you are using the measure of man, you will never measure up, because there's always somebody better. There's always someone that's going to make you feel good. But God doesn't do that. He says, hey, you are a new creature in Christ. You are complete. There is nothing else for you to do. You just need to step in and be measured by my measure, which is the measure of completion. The second thing is to experience the hand of breakthrough. I think we've got to keep working with our six until God adds the seventh. You see, you can't have the seventh without the sixth. And so often what happens is we think, when you hear a message like I'm talking about tonight, and I'm saying it's not about all our human effort, but sometimes we think, all right, that's cool. I just won't bother with anything. I'll just throw the human effort out the window and I'll just say, I wonder what God will come and do. So we started this series on breakthrough, and I'm hoping in a couple of weeks I can share, you know, a really good story. But we put an offer on another house, and it's pushed us into this incredible season of having to go flat out and get our house on the market and all these things. And it's amazing what we've done in 2 weeks. We had this turnaround with our house. I started, when I thought about all the things that we had to do to get our house on the market, I felt depressed. And anyway, so we started to think about that, and we just went absolutely full tilt at our house. I had 2 weeks of holiday, basically, and a lot of people have come in and helped us, and we've re-roofed our house with, you know, new gutterings and flashings and all this stuff, painting inside, and it's just been absolutely incredible. And we set ourselves a date where we wanted to go to market, and basically we got there. And Alex is calling me a slave driver and telling me, you know, everybody what a terrible person that I am, because every time she'd want to take it easy, I'd say, Ali, we cannot do that. We are on a deadline. No, 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 you don't get to go there. We're on this. We're in this. We're committed. And anyway, we're still married. And we got there. We got there. But it was essentially our efforts. But I think for the whole thing to work, I think on that there's perhaps a God factor. And really what it is we've said, you know what, we're going to do our six. We're going to do the work that we can do. We're going to do the work that God has gifted us to do. We're going to use our experience and you know, pull on our resources with our friends and people like that. And then we've just got to allow God to come and breathe his spirit on the rest of it. And put the seventh hand on it, if you like. And really now we're at a point where we've got a contract on our house, and you know, we're waiting for that to all happen before we complete the other contract. And at that point, I'm just got to trust God. There's nothing I can do right now in this limbo moment. I've actually got to trust God, and I've got to say, all right, I've done what I can do. Now it's in your hands, and I just need you on this, and I put it in you, and I trust you in that. But it'd be no point me of you know, at about this stage of thinking, oh, gee, well, nobody's come and bought our house, and actually, the reason they haven't bought it is we haven't put it on the market yet. And the reason we haven't put it on the market yet is that we didn't get in and do the work that we needed to do, and we didn't do the stuff that actually had to be done. Well, we'd still be sitting exactly where we were. But you know what? If we want breakthrough, yeah, we've got to do our six and then allow God to bring his hand onto our six and bring that seventh hand. There's an amazing story that you'll read in 2 Kings, and basically Elijah had this amazing breakthrough where he'd prayed against the prophets of Baal, and then all of a sudden he gets sort of freaked out and totally starts to lose it. But just before that, he'd prayed against rain in Israel, and they'd had this incredible drought. And he gets to a point where he actually starts to think, okay, this season needs to finish. So he prays for rain. And then And he sends his servant out. He says, hey, go outside and see if you can see any rain. And they're sitting there, and it was like, it was hot. And there was no clouds in the sky. There was no rain anywhere. They couldn't see a thing. So he says to his servant, hey, go out and check it out. And his servant comes back and says, I don't know, I think, Elijah, you might be praying to the wrong God. I think you might have got this one wrong, but there's not a cloud in the sky. In fact, it's hotter than ever, and the drought's stronger than ever. Anyway, and he comes back, and Elijah keeps praying. He says, hey, go and check again. He goes out, nothing. Go and check again. Comes back in. He says, come on, Elijah, this is getting a bit tiresome. I'm sick of running out and trying to find rain that's not there. You know, you might be feeling all right in here. Why don't you go out and look? And Elijah says, no, you keep going. And it's interesting. He goes out six times. In other words, he was faithful. Elijah said, oh, we're going to keep praying. And he went six times. And then on the seventh time, he comes back here and he says, hey, I can see a tiny little cloud. It's just about the size of my fist. It's up there somewhere. And Elijah says, you beauty, the rain's coming. And he had such faith that we're told he thought he better get home before the rain comes. So he ran that fast that he actually overtook chariots and all sorts of things to get home before the rain came. And the rain came in so hard that, you know, chariots got bogged and all sorts of things happened. But you know what? It was actually the persistence sometimes that actually takes us to the place where God actually does something in our spirit. So often we don't experience breakthrough because we don't do our six. Now, I'm not talking about working harder. I'm talking about being faithful with what we've been asked to do. And sometimes that's continuing to pray for that person that you've been asked to pray for. Sometimes that's continuing to give into that thing that you've been asked to give into. Sometimes that's you know, continuing to turn up to a connect group that feels like it's a little bit dead at the moment. Sometimes that's continuing to believe in your marriage when it's just not happening at the moment. Whatever it is, there are times that we've got to do our six and believe that God will put his hand on what we're doing and bring about breakthrough. You can't have the seventh without the six. To experience the hand of breakthrough, number three, I think we've got to nurture our spiritual gifts. It says this in 1 Timothy 4:14. It says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. And then again, in the next book of Timothy, it says this in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. It says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. And I've been talking about the hand of God actually bringing about breakthrough. But there is actually, you know, there are human hands that are often laid on us that impart something of God. And all of us actually receive spiritual gifts. When we come into the kingdom, we receive spiritual gifts. And it doesn't matter who we are. We're told that the Holy Spirit gives out gifts as he sees fit. Otherwise, he doesn't give you gifts because you're good looking or even he likes you. He actually gives out gifts as he sees fit. And it's our responsibility to actually nurture those gifts that we've been given. You see, if we want to experience that hand of breakthrough, we actually need to nurture the gifts that we've been. So do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. If we're not really experiencing that spiritual dimension or component to our work, I want to ask us, are we stewarding? Are we nurturing the gifts that have actually been given to us? So you could be a really, really talented athlete, but if you don't nurture that ability, you won't take it anywhere. It won't succeed, will it? Because it'll actually lay dormant. And you see, there's a supernatural component that is actually given to all of us when we come into the kingdom of God. There's special giftings that he gives us, but it's our responsibility to nurture them. It's our responsibility to fan that into flame. It's our responsibility to make sure that fire actually burns and those gifts start to grow. Zechariah 4 verse 6, it says this. It says, "So he answered me and said, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Number four, to experience the hand of breakthrough, we've got to understand that breakthrough happens in the spirit first. And almost that might seem sort of contradictory to what I've been saying about us doing what we're called to do, but I think that breakthrough actually has to happen not through our efforts. It is our faithfulness plus God doing something in the spirit that enables his hand to come on what we're actually doing, and we can see breakthrough. You see, there's no point in just going out and saying, "Oh yeah, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow the house in," or whatever. We've actually got to understand that it is not by might or by power, but it is actually by the Spirit of God. So what's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to perhaps let some stuff go and have something move inside of us so that we're actually carrying the Spirit of God? Not just a sense of, "Hey, yeah, I've got the Holy Spirit," but a sense where, you know what? I've got a spirit of breakthrough inside me. I've got a spirit where I can actually feel that God is moving in me, and I can actually speak breakthrough into that. You know what? I can go out and I can spend six times looking for a cloud that's not there, but I'm carrying something in me that's going to take me out there six times, and on the seventh time, I'm going to notice that God has done something and he's broken through. You know, that I am going to keep praying for that person, that I'm going to keep believing for change in my workplace, that I am going to keep believing that people are going to get set free from addiction, whatever it is, that we actually carry it on the inside of us, and that enables us to be faithful with our six, where we just keep going and we keep doing what God has called us to do. We do our bit and he puts his hand of blessing on us, and we start to experience breakthrough. Zechariah 4 verse 10 goes on a few verses later. It says, "Do not despise small beginnings." It's a verse for tonight. "Do not despise small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin and see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." And basically, it's talking about Zerubbabel, who was all part of this temple being rebuilt that we've been talking about tonight. And God says, you know, don't despise the small beginnings. Don't despise the fact that you're just starting to carry something on the inside of you, but you're not seeing it all happen. Don't despise the fact that, you know, whatever God's starting, it just seems small, it seems insignificant, it seems like you're not there yet, because nearly everything starts small. "For the Lord rejoices to see the work begun, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." Did you know that God actually rejoices? And because he doesn't compare you with what other people have done, he already sees finished what he started in you. So you know what? When you're starting to take on that new thing, When you're starting to engage in some things that you think are way beyond you, you know what? He's looking at you and he's saying, "Yeah, go, you know, go Doris, go Lance, go to Neil. You know, I see it as finished. I see it as done. I see that thing that seems small right now as absolutely complete," because he sees the beginning from the end. He's not restricted by time and space like us. And he actually says to us, well, let's not be intimidated by small beginnings. Let's be encouraged by them. Let's see these things as done. The team want to join me. I've been super sick for a week. So tonight I've probably been a bit more intense because I've been cooped up in bed all week. Not particularly funny. But it's funny when you're in those places, some of the things that perhaps you normally rely on is not there. And as I was just sharing some of the journey with our house and all sorts of things, and I'm feeling the pressure of some of that because some of my normal routines are not happening. I'm not getting out and riding my bike like I normally do because I've just been too sick to do anything. And some of those processes that I often use to de-stress and to work those things out haven't been there. And I've just had to found myself actually just pushing back into God at new levels. And saying, hey, can you move something in the spirit? Because at the moment, I can't even do anything in the natural. Obviously, it was only a flu. You get over these things. But I want to pray for some people tonight where something would actually move in the spirit. I want us to start to function by a new measure. Maybe that God measure. The first one I just want to break the power of right now. I'm not going to actually ask anyone to come out. I just want to just pray into some of these things as we sit here right now. But that measure of man, which is the measure of comparison. Who's felt like they're not enough this week? Who's felt like they're not measuring up? Who's felt like they're less than they should be? Who's looked at the words that somebody else has spoken or the image that somebody else portrays or whatever it is and just felt like that you're not quite enough? I want you to confess that right now. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we choose to let go of comparing ourselves. We thank you that the measure you use is not a measure of comparison, but it is a measure of completion. I thank you that when we come into the kingdom of God, that you see us as complete. You don't see us as a small beginning. You completely see us as complete. Somebody else here tonight, there's some others here, and you actually just feel weary. You feel like you've just been doing the stuff. It's a bit like you feel like you're doing your six. And you're saying, come on, God, when are you going to place your hand on what I'm doing? Lord, I thank you that there are people here that are faithful, that have been working hard. Lord, where there is weariness, where there is disappointment, we choose right now. We break the power of that in Jesus' name. And I pray that there will be something that would move in the Spirit. There would be an inspiration that comes on people right now to continue to go forward with what you've called them to do, to be faithful, to be inspired in those things that you've put in front of them that you called them to do. Lord, I pray that they will not be feeling like they're not enough, but they would just be, there would just be a rejuvenation in doing what you've called them to do. That right now we say we're going to do what we can do and ask you to do what we can't do. In Jesus' mighty name.